Well, this morning we're going to focus in just on three verses, verses 6 to 8. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you for what we've just heard from Andrew and Murray about the encouragement and benefit of studying your word. And we pray that as we come to it now, that you will encourage us, challenge us, equip us to live for you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many social fundraising sporting events that you can enter these days. And you might want to just put your hand up as I call some of them out. There is the Oxfam Walk. Hands up if you've done that. Right. Wow. Well done. There is a City to Surf Run. Yep. Good. There are cycling events, and Andrew had a, where's Andrew? Is that a Peaks Challenge shirt? So, Peaks Challenge, anyone done that? Any other crazies than Michael and Andrew and Matt? Yes, that says a lot. Or closer to home, Barara to Broke. Yes, I think Michael's done that. Well done. There's the Hawkesbury Challenge canoe paddle. Anyone done that? Yay! Helen, well done. See, things I'm finding out. Helen paddles a canoe and Joe walks the walk on the Oxfam Trail. Well done. And plenty of others. Call out some others, things that you might have done, events. Any others? We've covered them. Coffee shop crawl. No, yeah. Anyhow, in all of those events, it would be most strange to sign up, to pay your money, arrive at the starting line, commence the race, but at the first sign of a coffee shop or the first nice place with a view, you just pull off and you say, that's it, I'm done. You entered the event, you started, you might even have taken a photo, had a photo of yourself at the start, but you didn't do the event. Starting is one thing. Running or walking the race, continuing on for as long as you can, and hopefully finishing is quite another. And the same, of course, is true in the Christian life. The Bible uses the terminology of walking to describe the Christian life. And so as we come to Colossians 2, we come to two key verses, two summary verses, two theme verses of the whole book, verses 6 and 7. Follow them with me. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Or, as many versions put it, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. And so in these verses, we have three descriptions of beginning the Christian life and three descriptions of the ongoing, of the walking. Yes, one needs to start the Christian life, but it would be most strange to pull out then. We need to walk. The three descriptions of the beginning are, you received Christ Jesus the Lord, you are rooted in him, and you were taught. And then the three descriptions of the ongoing are walk in him, built up in him, and established in the faith. Paul's whole letter, summed up in this one sentence, is a call to keep going, to give careful attention to walking in him, being built up in him, and being established in the faith. These three dimensions have been called Christian living, Christian growing, and Christian understanding. And this ongoing aspect of the Christian faith is linked from to the whole opening section from chapter 1 verse 1 through to chapter 2 verse 5. We know that because of the little word therefore, which starts verse 6 in many versions, although in the NIV it has so then. When we come across the word therefore in the Bible, we need to always ask, what is it there for? Thank you, Rick. It tells us that it is linked with what's gone before, And the commentators see here that it is linked not just with the previous verse, but with the whole opening section. So just briefly, let us remind ourselves of what we've seen thus far. Firstly, the gospel news of salvation through Jesus Christ was bearing fruit in Colossae and also the whole world, chapter 1, verses 6 and 10. And then in verses 15 to 23, we saw that Jesus is the content of the gospel. He is the one on whom we owe our existence, and he is the one who enables the forgiveness of our sins. And thirdly, Paul was a servant of that gospel. So the gospel was bearing fruit, Jesus is the content of the gospel, and Paul was a servant of the gospel. And so Paul says in chapter 2, verse 6, we are to live the Christian life in the light of that gospel, in the light of that wonderful news that Jesus died and rose again, and that all those who put their faith in him have the promise of eternal life. And so we are, to use Paul's term, to walk. We are not just to start. We are not just to believe, but we are to walk. We are to continue, which will involve living and growing and understanding. And that's why it was great to hear the interview with Andrew and Murray. That's why we have some, many of us call them growth groups, because we want to continue. We want to grow. And so this Christian living, this walking, flows out of the beginning. It flows out of receiving Christ Jesus, the Lord. And so let's just look at the receiving, the starting, for a minute. Receiving is not just us inviting Jesus into our life. It is not us discovering the Christian message, but it is taking what has been handed to us. It is taking what is handed to you, the gospel message, and believing it. This message has been passed down. It has been delivered to others who receive it. For the survivor watchers among us, hands up if you're a survivor tragic. Do we have any here? Yes, we have a couple, a few. Good. Well, sorry? Yeah. Well, yes, I'm married to one, so yeah. So for the survivor watchers, it is not us discovering an immunity idol. We're walking along and, oh, look what I've found. But it would be like one being handed to you by the person who found it. So at tribal council, when someone had one, they hand it to you. It's like that. It's passed on. It's not us discovering it, walking through that bush and finding the idol. And this week, John's going to watch Survivor, and maybe you. We need to remember this. The Christian faith is not a matter of self-discovery or personal illumination. It is a matter of receiving something that has been handed down or delivered to you. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. He received it and then he delivered it to others. That Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. What was passed down in the fullness of time ended up being passed down in writing, delivered to us from the apostles in the New Testament. So that is the receiving. The walking is not separate from that, but follows on from that. Now, says Paul, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Or as the NIV puts it, continue to live in him. The receiving is the starting in the Christian life. It's like lining up at the start of one of the events and then crossing the starting line, but it is not the whole. And the Christian life is lived not divorced from the start. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. You don't start out in the city to surf and then decide that you'd rather be in the Hawkesbury Classic, so you look around for a canoe. Or you don't line up to go in the Peaks Challenge on a bike and then decide you'd rather be doing the Oxfam walk, so you start to walk up to Falls Creek. No. As you started, you continue. You receive Christ and you continue in Him. Now, what it means to walk in Him will be explored in chapter 3. But we'll notice things there that we need to do and things that we shouldn't do. Getting rid of things such as anger and immorality and evil desires, but also putting on things in showing kindness and patience and love. This is what we have received Christ Jesus as Lord for. As you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. Well, that is Christian living, the receiving, and then consistent with that, the walking. But next we come to Christian growing. And for this we have two expressions, taking root and being built. Now, Paul is mixing his metaphors here, as he is wont to do, and is not embarrassed by it. The beginning is described like a planting, with the roots being placed in the rich soil of the gospel, ready for healthy growth. This reminds us that the Christian life was a new beginning. We have been planted in Him, in Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is a new beginning, like the planting of a tree. But this is tube stock. There is some serious growing that has to occur. The Christian faith then is not just the acceptance of certain teachings, but the acknowledgement of the one on whom we are utterly dependent. We have been planted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian faith is about a person, not a philosophy or an idea, about a relationship with the Lord Jesus. The ongoing Christian life is then pictured as a building being constructed on that well-laid foundation, or perhaps the growing tree being built on that. The purpose of being planted is to grow, or to change the imagery, to be built. Now, the image of growth was used in Paul's prayer in chapter 1, verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. As we have been planted in Him, so we are to grow in Him. Christian growth will not occur in some richer soil or on some stronger foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3 tells us all the riches are to be found in Him. Now, some people say that they want to move on from the gospel. Or sometimes they'd say that we just need to assume the gospel and get on to more important things. But it has been said that one generation will proclaim the gospel, the next generation will assume the gospel, and the third generation will deny the gospel. See, Jesus must remain the source of our growth. Don't go looking elsewhere. And as He is the source of our growth, churches then must be on about laying foundations, but they also must be on about building on those foundations. Or to use the words of our mission statement, we must be working towards reaching people so they may know Christ and equipping people so they may serve Christ. In the 1970s, there was one particular denomination where there was a great focus on evangelism. Every Sunday night church would be an altar call. And people were converted in great numbers. But the growing got neglected to some extent. And so down the track, the cracks appeared and there are certain problems now. Now that's a danger for us as well. By all means, evangelise. That's the start. But we need to grow. And so we need to be a church that reaches out so that people can start in the Christian life, but we also need to resource one another so that we can grow in the Christian life. Christian growth cannot be taken for granted. Well, next, Christian understanding. This is the reference to being strengthened in the faith or established in the faith, as other versions put it. It is being established in the faith that you were taught. A Christian will learn more of what they were taught. This is not moving on from the gospel, but this is building on the gospel, on that good news of Jesus. All that we teach is to be consistent with the gospel and is to flow out of the gospel. So the Christian life is not just learning the faith, but being established in the faith. A deeper grasp of the faith must be accompanied with a firmer stability in the faith, a growing confidence in Christ Jesus the Lord. And again, what a great way to help you, a small growth group. As it was put in 1:23, continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. In 2 verses 6 to 7, we are encouraged to walk in him, not just to start, but to keep going. Yes, walk in him, and then in verse 8, avoid them, the ones that Andrew referred to in the kids' talk. So let me read that. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Jesus is the source of our growth, and in verse 8 we see dangers to our growth. Do you notice that it's described in graphic terms? See to it that no one takes you captive. In the early Christian communities, as now, it was not uncommon for misleading teachers to come along and threaten the lives of young believers. Paul describes it as being like a kidnapper who wants to take you captive. This is not to be taken lightly. Some believe that there were particular teachers that Paul had in mind, philosophers who emphasized human tradition and the elemental spirits of the world, whatever they are. But others think that Paul is giving his estimate of any teaching or system that does not have Christ in his rightful place. Philosophy, as Paul used it, was not negative in itself. At the time, it was used for a wide range of ideas and teachings, and even the ideas of various Jewish groups. However, we are told that philosophy that is not according to Christ is empty deceit. It is without truth. It has no firm basis. It has no power for good. All it can do is lead you astray, take you captive, kidnap you. Such teachings are according to human tradition. Now, it's hard to know what according to the elements of the world mean, but it could simply be a derogatory term saying such teaching is elementary, bound up with this world alone, and of no value in regard to the next world. The crux of the danger is that the teaching is not according to Christ. So any human ideas, no matter what university they emanate from, or how many letters the proponent of it has after their name, or how many books they have sold, if it fails to grasp the significance of Christ, particularly of his death on the cross, they are nothing more than empty deceits. So if this is a general warning rather than specific, we are in danger too. A real danger for Christian people is to be taken captive by ideas, teachings, philosophies, ideologies, and even theologies that are not according to Christ. In the history of the church, many are found. Been riddled with people that have been taken captive and are teaching things other than Christ. For they have nothing but a human origin and deal with nothing but this world. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't engage with other teachings, ideas, philosophies, and theologies. No, it may well be helpful to understand them, to read them. He is not advocating that we be in an intellectual ghetto. But what we are warned about is that we not be taken captive. And it is a real danger. So don't be deceived, friends. Be aware of the danger. So friends, as we conclude, let me ask you, have you received Christ Jesus as Lord? Have you got to that starting line and have you started? Have you accepted the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for you and rose again, and that he longs for you to be in a relationship with him? But also, are you continuing with Christ Jesus as Lord? Are you walking in him? Are you continuing on? Have you not pulled out? And are you avoiding them, not being taken captive by those who want to kidnap you? Have those gospel roots gone down deep? And are you flourishing in the Christian life so you are able to avoid the clutches of those who want to deceive you? Again, if you're not in one of our growth groups, one of our small groups, take the recommendation of Andrew and Murray and sign up. If you don't know what group to join, if you go on Wednesday night, you'll be with Murray. If you go on Tuesday night, you'll be with Murray. You'll have a great time. So let me leave that as one particular challenge. To conclude, let me read those three verses again. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Amen.